Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I ask you guys a question before we move forward? I should probably wait, but it just feels important. Rob, we got an email that a wrestler wants to come on the show. His name is Powerhouse Hobbs. You know this man? I don't know who he is. He wants to come in studio.
Powerhouse Hobbs?
I don't know who he is. I'm just asking the people if this is somebody I should know and if this is somebody that we should have on the show. I guess they're doing some event, and he were like, oh, hey, we'd be happy to come in studio with you guys. I don't know. Maybe this guy's like some really important wrestler that I don't know. That's why I wanted to know. That's why I wanted to ask the people. The people normally are a good gauge of this.
He is part of the World Trio Championship?
I don't know. They just sent me an email. Said he wants to come on the show. He said he wants to be a friend of the show. So, I mean, text line, let me know. 913-586-7965. You guys don't seem very excited about it, so I don't know if I should be excited about it, but I at least feel like I can ask, because then if I told you guys after the fact, you'd be mad if I didn't take them. So I at least want to know from you.
You're on a lot weirder list than I am. I get a lot of authors. Hey, this guy wrote a book. He wants to come on the show. Okay.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
He's not coming on the show, but thanks for offering.
This came like directly from his handler. Like, hey. Like, okay, all right, well.
You are the local AEW fan on the show, though.
For sure.
No one likes AEW like you like AEW.
Yes, for sure. I didn't know. I just wanted to know. All right, so I am in a good mood. You guys should be in a good mood. Anytime the Chiefs just pummel another team like they pummeled the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, it's a good day. All right, this is where I would like to start. And this is the most important thing from the game to me. It really is the most important thing. And I can say this because I don't ever try to be the sports talk host that questions effort or says, oh, I could do that. I can't. No, I don't have the ability to play in the NFL. I was listening to this podcast earlier, and they were like calling players like gutless. And I'm like, this doesn't seem like a word I would use to describe a professional athlete. There's some words that you can't call professional athletes. Quitter is one of them. I try not to use that word. I believe with every fiber of my being, I believe that the Chiefs defense got Lamar Jackson to quit. I think Lamar was not having fun. I don't think the game was going how he thought or the Ravens thought that it was going to go. It got off to a great start, and you're thinking, all right, we're here. And I think the Ravens found themselves once again in a very familiar spot of playing catch up with the Chiefs. And I think that Lamar was getting frustrated because he threw an interception, because he ran into his own center and fumbled the football. I think he was frustrated that they got stopped on a fourth down. I think he was frustrated that their defense couldn't get off the field in really any capacity. And I think Lamar just simply opted out of the experience of playing in the game yesterday. Go back, and I'm serious, really watch what happened. Lamar gets stopped on third down. They're going off the field to punt. The training staff doesn't come out there. No one from the team really monitors it like it's that big of a deal, like it's a big deal that Lamar went down. He gets up on his own power, walks over to the sideline, throws his helmet down, sits down, and pouts for the rest of the day. I think he quit. I think he tapped his helmet and said, hey, coach, I can't go. Put Cooper Rush in the game. I'm sitting there and I'm laughing. Go back and listen to it. Tony Romo tried to argue that Cooper Rush coming in because a different play style was going to be a spark to their offense. It ain't no spark when your best player just quit the game. It's not a spark at all. I think the Chiefs beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens into submission. I think they put them in the crippler crossface, sharpshooter, figure four, leg lock, whatever wrestling submission move that you want to acknowledge. I think they got put into that. I don't think the Ravens knew what to do. I think the Ravens saw their season slipping away, and I think the Ravens openly quit yesterday at Arrowhead. I think the Chiefs defense did that. I think you guys did that with the crowd. Lamar looked to me like he was having zero fun out there playing football. And of all the things that should upset you, if you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, that should be at the top of the list. You at least got to go out fighting. There is no scenario, there is no situation in which I can imagine that the quarterback of the Chiefs would walk off the field in his own power, sit there on the sideline pouting for the rest of the game, not get any treatment, not go in the locker room, not get an MRI, not have a trainer come over and talk to him, and then be the first one after the game dapping up players from the Chiefs, asking to switch jerseys after the game. It was an embarrassing final 30 minutes of the day, I thought, for Lamar Jackson. I'm serious. I thought it was embarrassing what he went out there and did. Now let's talk about the Chiefs, because it wasn't just what the Ravens did, which wasn't a whole lot after the first drive. It was about the Chiefs. That was as well as they have operated and played a complete game since the first game that Taylor Swift went to, that game against the Bears. Whatever the Chiefs wanted to do, they did. When they wanted to get Xavier Worthy into the rhythm of the game, they did. Whenever they wanted to run their trick plays in the end around and the jet sweeps, they were able to do that. When they needed a 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2 with Kareem Hunt to move the chains, they did that. When Travis Kelce needed to get involved, when Juju Smith-Schuster with Hollywood Brown, this was the offense operating at as well-oiled of a machine that I think they can. I think the Chiefs did almost everything offensively that they wanted to do in this game. When they wanted to get the running backs involved in the passing game and kind of utilize that as a short pass game with Breshad Smith and Isaiah Pacheco, they did that. When they wanted to get back to kind of spreading it around and not really force feeding it to one passing target, they got different players involved. I thought this was as refined of a Chiefs effort on offense and defense that we have seen in quite some time. That's the team that can win the Super Bowl. That's the team that when they get Rashee Rice healthy and they continue to have one of the five best defenses in the league, that is a team that you don't want to play in January and that can beat just about any team in the National Football League. It's been a while since we've seen that Chiefs team, and you're never going to play the perfect game, and we'll talk about Harrison Butker. But if you want to talk about playing a complete game on offense and defense, I thought the Chiefs did that. You got to give them an A-plus on offense and Rob an A-plus on defense. I don't know if it's really possible for the Chiefs to play much better on each side of the football than they did given the circumstances.
I mean, that is – if that's the Chiefs' A-plus game, I think the NFL is going to be – need to have anyone at their A-plus game – to have a shot, because it was as good as I've seen them. Like, they were really good in the AFC title game against the Bills. I mean, they played better yesterday than in that game. They've been good in games before. Like, I have seen the Chiefs play. That's actually the best I've seen them play since that Steelers game on Christmas Day, where on Christmas Day, they just massacred the Steelers. They played that well yesterday against a quality opponent. But if I'm going to get my butt in there, I do think it's a caveat, and we talked about in the 4 o'clock hour, check the podcast page. There is a slight caveat I do want to put on this, because they played great. I do think we will not know until next week if that great play was built on the Chiefs figuring things out, turning a corner, coming together, and being the team we thought they were going to be, or if they were playing a team that was DOA. Because if you spent the first 10 minutes of the 5 o'clock hour telling me that their quarterback quit and that they had big, let's get to the bus energy, I do think maybe a part of the Chiefs' greatness or how well they played could be based on what the Ravens were or were not doing. So I agree with you. That's as good as I've seen the Chiefs in a long, long time. Like I said, probably since that Steeler game on Christmas Day last year. But there is a slight caveat.
I don't know how much energy the Ravens had toward playing a football game when their quarterback quit in the second quarter.
And I think that that's fair. But what I would, I guess, defend Kansas City on, it is not the Chiefs' fault that the Ravens are not the team that we thought they were going to be. That has nothing to do with the Chiefs. No one feels bad for you when injuries happen in the National Football League. That's part of the game. They have been taught and trained for next man up mentality. No one had a level of sympathy for the Chiefs when they didn't have a left tackle for basically any of last year. They lost their number one receiver in late September, early October. Their running back broke their leg. No one cried tears of sympathy for the Chiefs. The Chiefs were told to go figure it out. And the Chiefs, it wasn't always pretty, but they figured it out. Well, I'm telling the Ravens to do the exact same thing. Go figure it out. You got a great coach, a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame running back. You got one of the best offenses in the league. Go figure it out. Because they look like a team that quit, and you are now 1-3. Teams that start 1-3, they have about a 13% chance of making the postseason. If you want to play this out just a little bit from the Baltimore Ravens side, and I promise you we'll get back to the Chiefs, the Ravens have a playoff game coming up on Sunday. They got a playoff game coming up. They play the Houston Texans. Houston is bad, and right now the Ravens are bad. You lose that game, and you're done to me. The Ravens got three games at home. They're 1-3, and they got three consecutive games at home. When these three games, get back over 500, get back healthy, and we're having a different conversation about you. But you got to start playing good football, because right now what we've seen the Ravens do is they gave up 41 points to Buffalo, 38 points to Detroit, 37 points to Kansas City. Everybody's taking their turns right now against the Ravens. Everybody. So next up is Houston. Houston's offense is terrible. Houston can't block anybody. Houston right now should feel like they should be able to go in there and score. The Rams should feel like they can score. They play them in 2 weeks. After their bye week, the Bears play them. Caleb Williams, he loves to eat up soft defenses. I've seen him do that time in, time out. So I hear what you're saying. The analogy I'll make for the Ravens is they look like last year's 49ers team to me. Remember last year's 49ers team? They just couldn't get right. Christian McCaffrey was never really healthy last year. Trent Williams missed a significant amount of time. That's how Jalen Moore was able to start at left tackle, how he found his way onto the Kansas City Chiefs. So they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. They didn't have Trent Williams. Debo Samuel was banged up last year. Brandon Ayuk got hurt. Remember Ricky Pearsall, the first-round pick out of Florida? He got shot and missed time last year. Like, a lot of the things that could go wrong, they went wrong last year for the San Francisco 49ers. Is that not what the Ravens feel like? Every year we talk about how, you know, hey, this team was in first, and now they – why can't that team be the Ravens? That team right now looks like the Ravens. Every year you write down four teams you think are going to be good, six teams you think are going to be good, a handful of those teams are going to underperform and disappoint. You write down on the flip side a handful of teams you think are going to be bad, and they end up being far better than you thought they were going to be. Jacksonville might be one of those teams. Indianapolis is one of those teams. A team that you didn't think was going to be good now looks like they're good. The Ravens look like a team that this is just a down year for them. They win seven, maybe eight games. Maybe they get back into it late in the year, but their defense just isn't enough, and they fall and collapse. But they got to get going. And number one, you got to get pressure on the other team's quarterback. They can't do that right now at all. And you got to show an ability to get off the field. And against the Lions, they couldn't get off the field. And that's one thing against the Lions. They couldn't get off the field against Kansas City. Kansas City was scoring and moving the ball against them at will on Sunday. So the Ravens, they got a whole bunch of things they got to figure out before we start. I'm not even talking about them as a Super Bowl contending team. They don't look like a team that is going to be one of the seven best in the AFC. They don't look like a playoff team right now to me.
I mean, they look like they are about another game and a half away from all those callers we took earlier this year saying fire John Harbaugh. Those callers might be right. If this team falls to 1-5, 1-4, and 2-6 type of energy, which their schedule, I don't know, they're light years better than the Texans right now. Then they face the Rams. I know the Rams are better than them right now. Like, you're telling me you quickly turn into a 1-5 team with a quarterback I saw quit in a regular game? You think at 1-5 he's going to bow his neck and be like, hey, we're going to, you know, go out there and we're going to come all the way back? I don't think that is happening. So this team feels like it's, you know, December, whatever, me and you doing the show, we hit the breaking news sounders. We're getting ready for wildcard weekend. Hey, John Harbaugh is out in Baltimore. If it gets bad, it could get real, real bad.
Yeah, I was also thinking this. So I guess short term to me, I would use last year's San Francisco 49ers team. But I think if you want to go maybe like more big picture to what you were talking about, what if this is the end of John Harbaugh's run in Baltimore and it ends up being very similar to Andy Reid's last year in Philadelphia? Now, I don't think that the Ravens are going to be as bad as Andy's last year. And now we know Andy had a lot of personal things that were going on that I think kind of clouded things.
Are you sure they're not going to be that bad? Like,
I'm just saying. I mean,
they ain't exactly a pillar of health right now, and they're 1-3.
That Eagles team went 4-12. I'm down on the Ravens. I ain't 4-12 down on them. That's a bad football team. But you're right. If the Ravens go 7-9, 7-10, could you see a scenario in which they just kind of come to it? Hey, we just need a new voice. The prime of Lamar is starting to end. We've only been to one AFC championship game. We just need something new, something different. We need a new spark, a new energy to try to get things going. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that that could end up being the case. The Eagles, they just needed a new voice. They ended up getting a new voice. A few years later, they go win the Super Bowl. I get all of that. Maybe that's where the Ravens are. Because in a lot of ways, it feels like the Ravens have just, they have hit a ceiling right now. If you can't beat Kansas City, you can't beat Buffalo, then tell me how you figure out a way of getting out of the AFC. Say what you want about the Bengals. The Bengals have at least figured out a way to be competitive against the Chiefs. Like, the Bengals have figured out a way to, hey, we can stand in the middle of the ring and we can give Kansas City a good game, a tough game. The Ravens don't do that. Lamar is 1-6 against Patrick Mahomes. 1-6. If you can't beat that guy, what are we discussing here? You can't beat him and you can't beat the other guy. So you're just going to be the third best team in the AFC during this entire run for Lamar Jackson? So I don't think it's a crazy, at least early, hey, if this year doesn't go the way that, if this year completely falls on its head, are the Ravens one of those teams that just, hey, we thank you for everything that you've done. And that'll be a very desirable job. It's a great organization. You got a great quarterback. You'll be getting a lot of talent back healthy. They draft well. It's a lot of things to like about the Ravens to think that they will just very easily bounce back. But at least right now, and with the injuries that they got, it is going to be a very long season if their defense doesn't shape up and shape up fast. All right, Rob, hit the button.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
As always, carrying the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Can I take hit number one today?
Absolutely.
Please? Can I take hit number one, and can I make hit number one the Super Bowl halftime show? Everything doesn't have to be for everybody. I have never seen a second of Yellowstone. Maybe I'll see it. Maybe I don't. I don't know if that's a show that seems like it would really appeal to me. I've never seen The Walking Dead. I've never seen Sons of Anarchy. Maybe you love these shows. They're not for me. I watched one episode of Dexter, told myself no. Some things in pop culture just are not for you, and that's okay. I think we are past the era of where everyone is going to love who they pick to do the Super Bowl halftime show. We don't all listen to music the same way anymore. We used to. We used to all listen to the music radio. We'd all watch MTV and... yes, that shaped our music. So when they told us who was going to do it, it's like, oh yeah, I've just been seeing them on MTV, so it's a natural transition for them to be on the stage. That's not how music is. Bad Bunny is the third most popular streamed artist on Spotify. Third. They asked number one to do it. She didn't want to do it. They asked number two to do it back in 2021. He's already done it. And then they went to number three and Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's not for me. I don't listen to Bad Bunny's music, but it's okay. You know what I will do during the Bad Bunny performance? Something else with my time. When do I care about the halftime performance? I don't care. So I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go get something to drink. I'm usually there with 20, 30 people anyway. I can just easily talk to them about the first half of the football game. There's plenty of things that we can do. Plenty of things. It doesn't have to be for me, and that's fine.
Number two.
Speaking of things for you, Carrington, are you on or off the Chargers bandwagon right now? You keep flip-flopping. It's hard to keep up. So much going on.
Why do you got to do this? See, this is the thing. I expect that from them. I don't expect that from you. You're supposed to be my boy. Are we boys or not?
Speaking of the Los Angeles Chargers,
here you go.
They did what we all see them do every year. We saw our first case
every
in 2025.
Year.
Chargering is back, baby, as the Chargers headed out east and lost on Jackson Dart's first start to the New York Football Giants. Also, more bad news for the Chargers. Joe Alt, who got hurt in the game, is expected to miss multiple weeks with a high ankle sprain. Carrington, was it the first time or the sign of a things to come when it comes to the Chargers chargering in 2025?
Can you turn the music down for just a little bit? This is why the rest of us don't believe in you. Every year, I hate to use this as an example, but it's the one that popped in my head. Every year, I try to tell Rob that Missouri is different. Football, basketball, it doesn't matter. Hey, this year is different. And then you know what? Missouri usually does something that will make you guys laugh and Rob say, you fell for it. Every year. The Chargers, we have been patting the Chargers on the back. Oh, man, you guys 3-0 and you won all three games in the AFC West. Now you're going on the road to play the Giants. Every Chargers team for the last 15 years, it didn't matter if it was Phillip Rivers, it didn't matter if it was Joan Rivers, Justin Herbert, it doesn't matter. Brandon Staley, Harbaugh. Every Chargers team over the last 15 years loses that exact same game in almost the exact same way. So if you want the rest of us to believe that you're different, okay, well then win those kinds of games. Yes, it's great to get the win in Brazil against the Chiefs. It's phenomenal. You know what the Chiefs wouldn't do when they got a chance to just continue to... They wouldn't lose to the Giants in that scenario. You know what Philadelphia wouldn't do? They wouldn't lose to the Giants. They wouldn't lose. You guys do lose. So this is why people don't believe in you. It's that simple. This is why they say it. This is why they call it chargering. This is why people don't believe, because you had a chance to continue to. And now, I mean, you really opened the door for the Chiefs. Like you left. Why? Why would you leave the door open for the Chiefs? You know, they're going to walk through the door. You know, they're going to. And now look at you. Scored 18 points. That's embarrassing. 18 points against the Giants. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the game. We'll talk about Harrison Butker, who missed another kick yesterday. How worried are you about Harrison Butker? I'll give you my answer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know it's hard for some of you to remove Harrison Butker's politics from your Harrison Butker football opinions. That is not hard for me. I don't care. I don't have to agree with Harrison Butker, but it doesn't have an effect on my life. It doesn't have an effect on your life. He's allowed to feel how he feels. So none of my football commentary on Harrison Butker has anything related to do with things that he does in his free time or how he feels. I am pro giving Harrison Butker more time and not overreacting about Harrison Butker, because there's really no other option to have with Harrison Butker. There is no other option. Harrison Butker is the highest paid kicker in the National Football League. He signed a contract that guarantees him $17.75 million. Now, I know it's easy for you to say, well, we don't care about that. Sunk cost. You're also not the one that had to pay him the $17 million. So I can understand if I'm the team that paid him, and I'm also the team that has seen him make a lot of big kicks, why I wouldn't overreact to the first four games of the NFL season, knowing there's so many games left in the year. So if you want to look at it from a money perspective, there's really nothing they can do this season. His cap hit is 5.2. His dead cap is 15.2. The Chiefs are not eating $10 million for their kicker. You know that, and I know that. So you can be as mad as you want about Harrison Butker. It's just not changing anything in the short term. They're not doing anything right now, nor should they do anything. Now, if it continues and it persists, could I see them making a change late in the season? Like, if it doesn't change, Harrison Butker has missed a kick in some form in every game so far this season. Now, I don't think that's going to be the continuance for the rest of the year. I'm at least willing to see how this thing plays itself out. I'm willing to give this two more months. Two more months. Let's see how October goes. Let's see how a large portion of November goes. If we're still having these talks every week about Harrison Butker and him not being reliable from 45, 50, or longer, I'm happy to come back and have this conversation. At the end of the season, from a financial standpoint, I mean, you can get rid of Harrison Butker at the end of the season if you really want to get rid of him at the end of the season, and you don't have to eat that much money at the end of the year if you feel like it's over with Harrison Butker. So I'm not saying we can never have this conversation. I'm simply saying that it doesn't make a lot of sense to me in week four to have this conversation. The leaves are still, the leaves haven't changed yet. It's still 90 degrees outside. They're not eating $10 million in cap space to go find a new kicker. So what I would tell you to do is I'd pick up some kind of superstition. I don't know what you need to do during Harrison Butker kicks to help turn this mojo around, but right now that is the only plan for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is coaching and hope that he gets himself out of it. This feels to me like a golfer who is usually a good putter that is just missing putts that they normally make. Eventually, you believe the guy's going to turn things around. We've seen him do it now for almost a decade here in Kansas City. Certainly a long time. Maybe I'm a little off, like 7-8 years. It's a long time. So I know you're mad. I know you're frustrated. I know. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm telling you. It don't matter. He's their kicker. He is going to continue to be their kicker for quite some time. So let's just let this play itself out. Let's see how things continue to go. And that's it. That's it. I don't have anything else on Harrison Butker. I know he said things that you disagree with that has nothing to do with his ability to make field goals. It really doesn't. It doesn't have anything. There are far worse people playing in the National Football League than Harrison Butker. I promise you. It does not matter to me. I don't care. I don't care. Just make the kicks. Just make them. It's all you need to do. So let's see where we're at with Harrison Butker in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Let's see where we're at. If this is still a problem, if this still persists, I'm more than happy to have this conversation with you guys. But at this point, I don't really think there's much of a conversation to be had. I'm still at the same place I was last week. I'm at a 3 to a 4, somewhere in that range with Harrison Butker and his missed field goals / extra points being a problem. Rob, where are you at?
Me and you see it the exact same. I don't think it's a problem that needs to be corrected yet. I don't think it's a situation where he needs to be cut. I don't think it's a situation where it's doom and gloom and he's broken beyond repair. I don't think any of those things. I actually think the more interesting conversation with Harrison Butker, and maybe interesting is it just to me, is are we going to look back at Brett Veach's decision to give him a contract and scratch our head and say, why? Because right now, he is not the same kicker he was when they signed him. He's just not. Now, could he turn around? Could he get fixed? Could he get back to the player he was? Yes, he's only 30 years old. Like, with kickers, there's not that, like you said earlier in the show, line of demarcation where like, oh, he crossed 30. He's not going to kick ever again pretty well. Like, it's possible. But there are a lot of kickers in the history of the NFL where it's over in the blink of an eye. Justin Tucker, some of the text line earlier said Mike Vanderjagt. Remember that name from the Colts? That just kind of ended. Steven Gostkowski, he was really bad in Tennessee. Like, there are players that you went, oh, they're a good kicker, and then it just ended. It falls off a cliff abruptly. So I think the more interesting conversation is not that he's uncuttable because of his contract, because it kind of is right now, but are we going to at some point look back with frustration at the contract he was given?
And I guess the answer to that is, I don't know yet. I wish I had a good answer for you. But I guess now I don't want to play the hindsight is 2020 game, because you and I agree there are some contracts that you and I feel that way from the very, very beginning. You and I wouldn't have paid Trey Smith. You and I wouldn't have paid Nick Bolton. I was screaming all offseason, hey, get a running back, get a running back, get a running back. I didn't have a problem with them paying Harrison Butker because it's not that big of a deal. It's a $17 million contract. It's not that much. Do you know how much money Harrison Butker counts for their salary cap?
I mean,
just take a guess. How much money do you think he counts? Right now, his cap hit, how much money do you think he costs on their cap?
15 mil, maybe?
1.8%.
Ooh.
That's what his cap hit is.
Okay, percentage.
Yeah,
sorry.
Percentage of the cap hit. 1.8%. Come on now. This was not a contract I was ever mad about. I'm still not mad about it. I understand why you wanted to reward Harrison Butker. He was under 30 when you signed him to the contract. I'm not going to get all up in arms about this. Let's just see how it plays itself out. He didn't miss a kick in the postseason. The postseason was earlier this year. I don't think he got washed all of a sudden in 8 months. Let's cool out for a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Do you have a date and time
where
you
will?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. 6 weeks. What I'm saying. 6 weeks.
And I mean, but what's the solution? Because it's not like in 6 weeks he's now free to cut. Like, let's say in 6 weeks he's still kicking at a 70% clip.
Yeah, that's, then you have to make a change. You have to make a change. I mean, if that's the case in 6 weeks, he's one of the worst kickers in the league. In 6 weeks. Like, if your kicker is making 70% of the kicks when it's warm outside, you have a problem when it gets cold outside. And I think to answer your point a little bit better, you then will see like the decline will be very, very obvious then if that's the case. It'll be very hard to disagree with the numbers. I mean, if you want to go back with Harrison Butker, let me pull it up here. I just had it. Here it goes. So in 2023, he made 94% of his kicks. Made 94%. Last year it was 84%. Right now, it's at 76%. So, can he get back to making 85, 90% of your kicks? He just doesn't have a lot of kicks right now. He just doesn't have a lot of kicks. This isn't the first time that we've been in this place. In 2022, he attempted 24 field goals. He missed six of them. And he still came up big in the postseason. So, like, this isn't the first time that we've seen a dip or a weird trend when it comes to Harrison Butker. This is kind of normal. This is kind of par for the course with Harrison Butker. It's just happening early on in the season that this is the case. So, 6 weeks. That's my official stance on Harrison Butker. Let's come back middle of November, week 10, and then we can have a conversation about Harrison Butker. And again, if he's making field goals at 75%, he's one of the worst kickers in the league. And then we can have a conversation of, are you worried? Is this going to cost you in the most important games of the season? We got two Monday Night Football games. They're actually very important for you in Kansas City. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Red Monday. We got two, count them, two Monday Night Football games. I don't have any interest, not a single shred of interest in Jets and Dolphins. None. I'm not watching it. I mean, I'm sure it'll be on. I ain't watching it. Nothing. Is there, Rob, anything that you're watching Jets and Dolphins for? Is there a bet that you potentially have?
No. If you're betting on Jets and Dolphins, come
I just
on
don't.
Now.
Maybe you're taking an anytime touchdown. I don't know. Maybe you're taking Devon Achane. Maybe it's fantasy. I don't know.
If I was
these two teams are terrible.
If I was taking an anytime touchdown, I would just check the box score. I would open my app and be like, who scored? Hopefully the guy I was betting on. But I'm not going to sit down and be like, man, I really, really, really hoped I get to watch Achane scores. No. ESPN doesn't even have their A crew in Miami. They have
of course
Buck and Aikman out
there?
In Denver.
Why would they even be there?
I don't even know who has the call tonight.
You know what? I actually think the Bengals are a little bit better than I think they're getting respect in this game. They're 7.5-point dogs. I think we saw this, that it was a little bit of an overreaction to how they got beat by the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they had five turnovers in the game. If you turn the ball over that much, you're going to get blown out. We were real quick to pat Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota on the back for how they performed. I think we were maybe a little bit too quick. I mean, we've seen Jake Browning before, and he's kind of man things. I think that's going to be a pretty decent game. So I'm interested in one of the two Monday night games, but that Jets and Dolphins, absolutely not. No, thank you. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Someone on the Texan says, tonight is a catch-up on HBO shows night. Oh, those are the best kind of nights.
Are you watching Task, by the way? Oh, my God. Task
never,
on HBO is so good.
Oh, what is Task?
You guys are watching Task.
What is? I don't know what it is.
It's about this FBI task force with Mark Ruffalo, and they're trying to find this biker gang. It's really well done.
Is it like
HBO
a one-off show? Is it like
it's like one? It's like True Detective used to be. Yeah, it's a one-off.
Okay. What's your favorite one-off show? And True Detective doesn't count because they've had multiple seasons of it. What's your favorite HBO show
question.
That's just one season? Remember that when they did The Night Of? Is it like that?
Yeah, it's kind of like the
I liked The Night Of was good.
Does Watchmen count? Watchmen on
HBO. Yeah, that counts for sure.
Yeah, Watchmen's the answer.
What's that one, Love Country? What was that one? The one with the Juicy Sister.
Yeah, I didn't watch
that
one.
Texan, you know what I'm talking about. 913-586-7965. It's like Love Town Country or Love Craft or I don't know the name of that show. I never seen it, but you know the one I'm talking about.
I did not watch that one. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. HBO's good for a good one-off. I hadn't heard of this, though.
Mm-hmm. That's my plan tonight. Get home, have some dinner, watch Task.
Oh, I got you. Okay, well.
And then I'll check in on Bengals and Broncos second half.
Sure.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But if I miss some of Jets and Dolphins, life goes
crazy.
On.
Miss, I don't want to watch it.
I'm trying to think of a scenario where me and you would talk about that game tomorrow.
I'm ready to already talk about the Jaguars, if you're being completely honest. I'm ready to talk about college football. You know what, man? Let's talk a little college before we get out of here. We only got a couple minutes left anyway. I talked to you about prove it. Remember we talked about like it being a prove it week in college football. All of the quarterbacks that we thought were going to be really good this season, almost none of them are really good. Garrett Nussmeier. Now, I think a lot of it is just LSU can't run the football like at all. They cannot run the ball. And it's hard to beat good teams if you are one-dimensional. LSU is one-dimensional right now. So Garrett Nussmeier isn't what we thought. Arch Manning is not what we thought. Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller, like all of the quarterbacks, you got Lenoris, DJ Lagway, all of the quarterbacks that we were talking about coming into the season being dogs, it hasn't really played itself out. The best quarterback in college football to me, I guess before all of this happened, was John Mateer. And if there was somebody that put themselves at least on the, we should pay attention to them for the Heisman Trophy, it was Dante Moore, the quarterback at Oregon. I thought he was very, very good on Saturday night. To be a true sophomore to go on the road in the whiteout and play as well as he played and lead them to a victory against Penn State, I think you got to consider Dante Moore to be one of the guys in the at least Heisman conversation. Tomorrow, Rob has assured me that we are going to have Ravens post-game and sports talk calls. So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll have a little bit of fun. Pat's going to come on Thursday. They're on Monday Night Football, so it kind of changes their week. So our week's a little bit different, but we still got you here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, it's Chiefs Kingdom. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.